From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. And on the show today, we're going to talk about the United States Department of Justice issuing a warning to states not to trample on constitutional rights during the coronavirus crisis. We'll share what the U.S. Attorney General shared. Plus, we'll also talk about a Harvard law professor who stirred up controversy recently by calling for a ban on homeschooling. We'll share why that is so wrong and what's really behind the latest attack on homeschooling. But first, we hope everyone is staying safe and healthy amidst the ongoing coronavirus crisis. And we want to let you know that Nebraska Family Alliance has published a special resource page on our website where you can find information and resources for churches, for small businesses, for families. We have educational tools and resources, answers to legal questions, and much, much more. And also included in that is a serve and pray guide with specific prayer points and opportunities to serve that you can utilize. So if any of that is helpful to you, you can find, read, and download all of it for free at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. Well, as we are all adjusting to a new normal during the COVID-19 era, last week, United States Attorney General William Barr sent out an important reminder that the Constitution isn't suspended. Last Monday, Attorney General Barr released an official memorandum that was sent to United States attorneys and to his Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. The subject of the memo was balancing public safety with the preservation of civil rights. And the memo is important because it comes at a time when we need to remember that and for states to keep in perspective as we're continuing to see different types of restrictions and mandates sent out in states. And the memo is a succinct acknowledgement of the extraordinary challenges posed by the coronavirus. And it's also a much needed reminder of our constitutional rights. And it even contained a warning to those states and localities that might tread upon individual rights. According to the Heritage Foundation, the memo is, in effect, a warning to the 94 United States attorneys, telling them to be on the lookout for state and local directives that could be violating the constitutional rights and civil liberties of individual citizens. And by releasing this memo to the public, Attorney General Barr reminded all of us that the coronavirus has, quote, required the imposition of extraordinary restrictions on all of our daily lives. And that's certainly true, as millions of Americans have been ordered to stay in their homes, leaving only for essential and necessary reasons, while countless businesses and other gathering places have been ordered to close their doors indefinitely. And these restraints on liberty, which we talked about on the show last week, and how we should think about this issue and how do we balance the public health and safety with our constitutional and civil rights. And the Attorney General acknowledges that these restraints on liberty have been necessary in order to stop the spread of a deadly disease, but that they have also imposed tremendous burdens on the daily lives of all Americans. And in large part, these restrictions have been directly impacting rights under the First Amendment. And the Attorney General reminded states and localities that they have to be mindful when crafting temporary rules. And that's the key in all of this, that these are temporary rules to fight the coronavirus. And that, quote, the First Amendment and federal statutory law prohibit discrimination against religious institutions and religious believers. We've already seen lawsuits by church leaders who claim that local laws were discriminating against them during the pandemic by specifically targeting their church or churches only for restrictions and not other types of gatherings. And some of those lawsuits have been successful. And this is important because the Attorney General of the United States is charged with enforcing federal civil rights laws. And here he is reminding everyone, and in particular local and state officials, that the Constitution forbids discrimination against disfavored speech. And he does reiterate in this memo that the Justice Department will not unduly interfere with the important efforts of state and local officials to protect the public, but that the Constitution is, quote, not suspended in times of crisis. And this is exactly what the United States Justice Department should be saying, because it is their role, it is their duty to remain vigilant in upholding civil rights. And hopefully this memo will remind local and state government officials of their duty to balance both the public safety with respecting constitutional rights. And that is not an easy task by any means. So we need to continue to keep our government leaders in prayer at all levels of government, from the president to our governor, down to our mayors. We need to pray that they will have wisdom as they continue making decisions on behalf of the people, and as they tackle that tall order of balancing public health and safety with constitutional freedoms. And we have an important opportunity to unite together in prayer coming up on Thursday, May 7th. Every year, Nebraska Family Alliance hosts a National Day of Prayer event. Usually it takes place inside of our state capitol, but unfortunately we won't be able to host that event in person this year. But National Day of Prayer is still taking place on May 7th, and so we are hosting a statewide National Day of Prayer call, and you can participate in that, and you can find all of the information and how you can join in on that prayer call, or how you can just be praying with us on that day. And it's all on our website at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, and we hope that you will be able to join us and unite with us in prayer for National Day of Prayer on May 7th. One of the unique challenges imposed by the coronavirus has been the closure of schools and parents across the country who now find themselves having to help teach their children from home. And in midst of this, recently, a Harvard law professor stirred up some controversy by calling for a ban on homeschooling because it allegedly, quote, violates a child's rights and is dangerous. Professor Elizabeth Barthollet, who is a law professor at Harvard Law School, was recently interviewed for an article in Harvard Magazine on the problems of homeschooling. And among other reasons, she alleged that homeschooling parents were racist and sexist, and also alleged that when parents homeschool their children, kids are more likely to be abused. She said, quote, effectively, people can homeschool who've never gone to school themselves, who don't read or write themselves. And for those reasons and others, she proposes a presumptive ban on homeschooling, which would require parents who want to homeschool their children to have to justify their reasoning to the state in order to be granted permission by the state to homeschool their children. And incidentally, in the picture that went along with this piece in Harvard Magazine, they spelled arithmetic wrong on the cover. Anyway, that's just a fun side note in this article criticizing and calling for a ban on homeschooling. The brilliant minds behind it at Harvard misspelled arithmetic. And previously, Professor Barthollet has written a paper that was published by the Arizona Law Review titled Homeschooling, Parental Rights Absolutism versus Child Rights to Education and Protection. And in this article, she writes that, quote, the homeschooling regime poses real dangers to children and to society. Children are at serious risk of losing out on opportunities to learn things that are essential for employment and for exercising meaningful choices in their future lives. They are also at serious risk for ongoing abuse and neglect in the isolated families that constitute a significant part of the homeschooling world. And unsurprisingly and thankfully, these charges and calls for a ban on homeschooling drew a quick and sharp reaction from many leaders across the country. Michael Ferris, who is the CEO and general counsel for Alliance Defending Freedom, wrote his own piece responding to these allegations in Town Hall. And in this piece, Michael Ferris writes, "Professor Bartlett argues that homeschooling denies children a meaningful education. In so doing, Bartlett fails to demonstrate any familiarity with valid social science research. The literature demonstrates that homeschooling works very well academically. In public schools, family income is a strong predictor of a child's academic success. In homeschooling, children from lower income levels not only outscore their public school socioeconomic counterparts, but they also score comparably to homeschool students from higher income levels. The professor then argues that children are not protected from child abuse since they are not in public schools with mandatory reporters. She illustrates this concern by referring to a book written by one girl who claimed to have been raised by Idaho homeschool survivalists. There would be a temptation to match her singular anecdote with anecdotes arising from the rare situations where public school teachers abuse children, but again, one would expect a Harvard professor to understand the logical problem raised by overgeneralizing from isolated examples. Like the vast majority of parents who choose other forms of education, the overwhelming number of homeschool families are led by good parents who are also good neighbors. Harvard should be embarrassed by its professors' absolutely unsupported assertion that homeschool students will not be able to contribute positively to our democratic processes. I personally know two homeschool students who are Harvard law grads and clerked for the U.S. Supreme Court. Moreover, dozens of homeschooled students in my personal sphere of friends have been elected to state and local offices. Thousands of homeschooled students actively participate in the electoral process every cycle through a program called Generation Joshua. Studies show that homeschooled students participate in political activity at a higher level than the norm. They are motivated by seeing their own families being directly impacted by the political process. But perhaps the most troubling thing found in this article is a clear display of bigotry. Professor Bartlett argues that a chief evil at hand arises from the fact that as many as 90% of homeschooled children live with conservative Christian parents who seek to remove their children from mainstream culture. Such people are, quote, extreme religious ideologues who, quote, question science and promote female subservience and white supremacy. Those are Professor Bartlett's words. Michael Ferris goes on to say that any form of bigotry coming from one of its professors should cause Harvard trustees to be concerned. Religious bigotry may be fashionable in some circles, but Harvard expresses commitments to the contrary. When the pandemic is behind us, I would be happy to come to Cambridge and take Professor Bartlett to dinner, because she might be surprised if she actually took the time to finally meet one of the people she misunderstands so much. And in an op-ed piece that was published by Fox News, Focus on the Family president Jim Daly defended homeschooling and wrote that children who are schooled at home perform academically better than their public schooled counterparts by a degree of 30%. They also have higher SAT and ACT scores, as well as better grade point averages in college. I don't believe any bureaucrat or law professor from Harvard University should be dictating to parents what form of education is best for their child. Professor Bartlett concluded in the Harvard Magazine piece that, quote, "I think an overwhelming majority of legislators and American people, if they looked at the situation, would conclude that something ought to be done." But what I think is that Professor Bartlett's concern for children, which she is using as a weapon to attack conservative Christians, is horribly misguided. And it is terribly wrong to think or assume or to try to mandate through law that the state can take care of and educate every single child better than their own parents. And it raises the fundamental question of, to whom do children belong? To the state or to their parents? The Harvard law professor wrote that, "I think it's always dangerous to put powerful people, meaning parents, in charge of the powerless, meaning children, and to give powerful ones total authority." But a Harvard University honors graduate student who was herself homeschooled until she went to the Ivy League school responded, calling the article an attack on the fundamental rights and freedoms that make our country what they are, and that it is deeply disappointing that Harvard is choosing and promoting an intellectual totalitarian path that calls for a ban on the liberties that helped me and countless others succeed, for it is those liberties and ideals that have made America the great nation it is today. And none of this is to say that public school or private school or other forms of education are inferior to homeschooling. It's only to say that parents should always have the option and the freedom to choose to homeschool their children if they wish. It has been the right decision and a successful decision for thousands of families across the country. And that is a freedom and a right that we have to work to preserve. And someone who is at the tip of the spear in defending the rights of parents to homeschool their children are those at the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. And this is what their senior counsel, Mike Donnelly, had to say in response to this article in an interview with Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Washington Watch. Take a listen.
I mean, attacks on homeschooling are nothing new, but it looks like it's being ratcheted up again. I think Professor Elizabeth Barthollet puts this essay in the Harvard Magazine. The timing of it's kind of interesting, with a lot of children across America now at school being homeschooled. At least they're being, I guess it's a stretch to say they're being homeschooled. They're doing their work at home from school. But two things are happening. One, parents may find that this is not such a bad thing. And two, they're now seeing firsthand what their kids are being taught. That's a threat to the left, is it not?
Well, it's a threat to anybody who wants to indoctrinate children in a particular point of view. And I think that's one reason why some people homeschool. But look, Tony, you know, homeschooling is a mainstream educational alternative. There are over 2.5 million children homeschooled every year. You know, I saw some tweets over the weekend about this article quoting from Professor Barthollet's Arizona Law Review journal article. And it's a pretty amazing to me how many people have come out in defense of homeschooling. Experts, people like Senator Ted Cruz. There are literally dozens of articles in the last 3 days calling out this article and this professor's point of view as just being extreme. You know, her assertions about abuse and, you know, what homeschooling families are is unsubstantiated. It's not supported by the research. I mean, look, homeschooling is it's a fast growing movement. It's a diversifying movement. You've got people on the left, on the right, who are homeschooling for many reasons. They have children with special needs. They want their children to be able to pursue their own interests. They're not happy with the state of the public schools, and content is just one of those things that people are not happy about in the schools.
Well, yeah, right. It's been growing, originally associated most predominantly with people of faith who were concerned about the indoctrination of their children. That still is a large percentage. And of course, she takes issue with that, saying that it's depriving children of being taught the principles of democracy and community values, i.e. indoctrination. That, I mean, look, I see this as the left, as they lose control of children leaving the public school system. And as you pointed out, that's growing in number, many for security reasons, some for curriculum, some for religious reasons. And I think others will be exposed to the concept through what we're experiencing right now with children being out of school and being at home. I think parents may actually, some parents, hopefully, will actually enjoy the interaction they have with their children.
But we're actually seeing that, Tony. In fact, that's one of the reasons why HSLDA has launched a brand new website called mompossible.org. Now millions and millions of children are at home. We call them suddenly schooling at home. And, you know, there's quite a spectrum of reaction around the country for school districts. Some are throwing up their hands, places like Michigan, and just saying, look, as Governor Whitmer said, we're just going to suspend all in-person instruction. And they even did so for non-public schools, which one questions whether she even has the authority to do that. But she did. Some places, some states are saying, well, we're not going to stop instructing. We're just going to move everything online. And so, or we're going to email you worksheets. And so you've got this spectrum where some parents are like trying to figure out what to do with their kids. They've been given total freedom, but they've never had it before. And they're trying to figure out what to do. And they're also trying to work during this coronavirus pandemic. On the other side, you've got parents who are being demanded by schools to basically become teachers. And they're frustrated by that. And they're having to work from home. And they're having, they have two or three kids. They've got three or four teachers for each of the kids, emailing them, and they're having to check in. And so it's very frustrating for people. And so our website, mompossible.org, is a resource for people to kind of help them cope a little bit and try to get a handle on what's happening and the stresses that everybody is experiencing. And as you pointed out, you know, crisis schooling or corona schooling or whatever you want to call it is very different from the kind of homeschooling that you've done and that I do with my family with seven children. You know, the hallmark of kind of your typical homeschooling is freedom from rigid schedules, flexibility right. for kids to follow their interests and different, kinds of things. And as you pointed out, to kind of enjoy the relationship of being in a family.
Yeah. And I think some parents will all of a sudden discover, wait a minute, it doesn't take the kids that long to get their lessons done. Why are they spending so much time at school and they're able to get through this? In such a quick period of time. Now, I do understand it's apples and oranges comparison because you work at your own pace and you tailor the education of your children to your children, and there are so many resources available out there today. I just think that, again, parents who – I mean, we have children for a reason. God gives them to parents. It doesn't give them to the public schools or to the government. But if we rediscover that relationship and all of a sudden we realize what we're missing by shipping our kids off to school, I just think we could possibly, like, I just think you could see an explosion in homeschooling even further than what we've seen in the last two decades.
I think you're right, Tony. I think a lot of people a year from now are going to look back on this coronavirus pandemic and they're going to point to this as kind of a time when they realize that, you know, homeschooling is something we could do and we really like it. We like having our kids at home. We like this relationship. We realize that, you know, our kids can actually have time to play, especially for the younger kids. You know, kids need that kind of unstructured playtime. The older kids can have the flexibility to explore, you know, areas of interest that they're interested in and talented at. And every child is unique, and you know, you and I both believe that each person has a plan and a purpose from God for their lives. And homeschooling allows families, whether they believe in God or not, to allow their children to explore those kinds of pathways. We're seeing interest. We're seeing a lot of Facebook posts, a lot of social media posts of parents who are saying exactly what you just said, which is, you know, this isn't so bad. And you know, we do get the schoolwork done in 2 or 3 hours, and then they. You know, we can go on walks and we can play outside. And, you know, we're hearing about parents, about kids who are, you know, checking in with their school teachers online, even during the online school, and saying, yeah, over the weekend, my dad taught me how to change the oil in my car and I cooked with my mom. And I think there's a lot of really positive things happening, even though, you know, it's a very challenging time for a lot of people economically.
This is an important conversation to have and to share. And you may not know that Nebraska Family Alliance was actually founded out of this very issue over 30 years ago when homeschooling was essentially illegal. And the state was arresting pastors and parents who were educating their children, not in a public school, but at a church school and at home. And so parental rights and educational freedom are things that we are always going to defend and be vigilant and watching out for. And so in closing today, we want to remind everyone, Nebraska's primary election, it's happening on May 12th, and you can visit our voter guide at nebraskavoterguide.com, where you can see candidate positions on these important issues, including the right to life, religious freedom, homeschooling, educational freedom, family values, and more. So make sure you vote and that you visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org for more information on early voting and requesting a mail-in ballot. And then check out our voter guide and share it with your friends and family. That's all the time we have for this week. Be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org for more information and resources. Until next time, I'm your host, Nate Groz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.